I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
What happens on March 5th? That's Super Tuesday. It is the most consequential election day of the primary season. Joe Biden is President Biden now because of what happened on Super Tuesday in 2020. For instance, Donald Trump, who lost Iowa in 2016, remember, really started to pull away at Super Tuesday. So the whole point, if you're looking at this, if you're objective, sane, and sober, you understand that March 4th, that day was chosen for an exact reason. And that is to take the headlines away from all the other candidates, make it on Donald Trump, not about his policies, but about his legal challenges, so he gets the nomination, because his polls only go up, only to beat him in the general. This is all planned. This is all political.
The words of Joe Concha, Fox News contributor, about how this judge now wants to hold one of the Trump cases trial on the 4th, the day before Super Tuesday. And you heard him explain why that's going to be beneficial to those who want Donald Trump to be destroyed. They have four different indictments against Trump. And as I had pointed out previously, they may well go to a fifth if they feel necessary. That could come out of Arizona, again claiming that he was trying to overturn their election. You do understand that when they talk about doing this, they are basically, again, tilting against windmills, what they're doing. But in their minds, it's crystal. Remember that phrase? You got me? You understand? Crystal. I got it. They got pretty much a nothing, but a lot of smoke, a lot of mirrors, and a chance to have him placed in front of blue cities, juries, and they're going to push it as far as they can. We'll see if they're going to be able to get some of these out of the state courts and into federal court, since they were all with the federal government at the time. Thanks for joining us again. Here we are, August 30, 2023. This is the second hour of Larry Connors USA. We're running 2 hours back-to-back now, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m., because you wanted more, and we're more than glad to provide it for you. I thank the sponsors for being here to help keep us on the air, and please support them when you have a need of one of their services. Or even if you don't, just drop by and say, hey, thanks for supporting Larry Connors USA. Unlike any other talk program, that's not meant to dismiss or put down or disparage any others. You listen enough, you see the differences between this talk program and others. First of all, I'm always still striving on that decades as a news journalist, trying to balance and give you some fair balance. I try to give both sides. If you missed the first hour, I spent a lot of time in the beginning of listening to Bernstein, Woodward, I should say, and Lawrence O'Donnell of MSNBC about how bad Trump is and how much they've got on him. Let me put it in perspective. I would guarantee you the amount of time I spent for them, giving them their side of the story, not one state-controlled media can be put in front of me and show that they give the same and equal time and treatment to allegations and charges against Hunter Biden, linkage to Joe Biden, and the Biden crime family. Nope. But if it's Trump, they're all over the top of it. I remind you again, while we are on the air, we are putting up a live stream of the program. You can go to News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, or to Rumble. And if you miss any of them, you can always pull them up as a video and our audio podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com. So all these charges against Trump right now. I mean, we've got the four that we already have seen. We've got Special Counsel Jack Smith, of course, being tapped by Attorney General Mealy-Mouth Merrick Garland to investigate Trump, and he went right into the classified documents being wrongfully held, and yet he was doing, Trump did nothing worse than one, Hillary Clinton, who had her own private email server and was sending materials out. Anyone could have had access to it. And 30,000 emails she destroyed before she turned them over to prosecutors, to the FBI, I should say, because she was never really prosecuted. She wasn't really investigated to that point either. And the way Trump has handled some of his files is not that much worse, and I would say not as bad as Joe Biden has done since he was a U.S. senator and then vice president. Files spread everywhere, in different homes, in the garage where his prized Corvette sat. Yeah, he had a lot of issues going on as well. But now in the midst of these charges against Trump and Merrick Garland, who had testified before Congress, Special Counsel Weiss, he didn't call him Special Counsel then, but Prosecutor Weiss has full authority to do anything and everything he wants. And Weiss himself, while he complained for a while, then after apparently a little come-to-Jesus meeting with Merrick Garland, decided, no, I've got everything I need. And then, well, lo and behold, Garland turns around and appoints him a special counsel. Not an outside independent counsel brought in, but the same guy that had already made the deal with the Department of Injustice as they worked with Hunter Biden's attorneys to do a sweetheart deal with him. Appointed Weiss to work on that. And then work on everything else. And now emails have been obtained by the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project showing that the Department of Justice intervened on behalf of the U.S. Attorney David Weiss regarding the Hunter Biden investigation and his testimony in front of Congress. Maria Bartiromo picks up the story and a response from Congressman Jim Jordan.
House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan raising concerns with the Department of Justice about Special Counsel Jack Smith's impartiality in his investigations. In letters to AG Merrick Garland and White House Chief of Staff Jeff Zientes, Jordan wants answers as to why Smith's top deputy, Jay Bratt, visited the White House earlier this year. Jordan writes this, "This raises serious concerns regarding the potential for a coordinated effort between the Department of Justice and the White House to investigate and prosecute President Biden's political opponents." Here he is last night on Fox News at Night.
How many times have we heard Karine Jean-Pierre stand at the White House press briefing room and says the Department of Justice operates independent from the White House? We had no involvement in the Trump matter, no involvement in the Hunter Biden, no involvement whatsoever. Really? Well, then what happened at this meeting? Was Jack Smith sending Jay Bratt there? Was he like the proxy? Was he the go-between? We don't know what actually happened at this meeting. Who were they talking about? What took place? That's what we want to know.
Yeah, we do want that. And in coming up before this hour is over, I'm going to have as a guest the head of the Heritage Oversight Committee that started uncovering these emails and certainly showing possible collusion between the Department of Justice, or Injustice, and the Special Counsel Weiss, and the White House. Now, their story, they've already got it down pat, or at least they're reworking it, reshaping it, but basically, oh, there was just talk of a job, possible interview, things of that. I mean, I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole right now, because they're still digging it. They don't know where they're going to go with it. All they need to do, in their mind, is cover up what's being thrown at us and find a way to ignore it. Now, we have seen this over and over again, have we not? And in fact, I want you to hear from Tammy Bruce. She was on with Fox, and Tammy Bruce is a radio commentator as well. And she was at one time the president of the L.A. National Organization for Women. Where is the NOW group now with all the transsexual issue? Do women exist? Apparently transsexuals, they don't, but she was the former president of the L.A. National Organization for Women, and she says, you watch what this government has done under Biden, and even while Obama was in office, when it comes to dealing with political opponents, you shouldn't be surprised.
This particular environment and the attacks on Donald Trump did not suddenly just arise, you know, out of a unicorn and rainbow world where everything was just fine. We've seen this kind of behavior for generations coming out of Washington. So, you know, think about the IRS, the Tea Party, Lois Lerner, the fact that nothing happened effectively to people like Comey and others who did the Russia dossier hoax. You know, they go on, they make millions of dollars, they write books, and they tiptoe through the freaking tulips here. So, of course, it ends up with weaponizing justice in the open, going after a political opponent, because nothing will happen to them. This kind of behavior is learned behavior. It is rewarded behavior.
Rewarded behavior. She's right. They go on to get a cushy job with CNN or some other state-controlled media. They get paid big bucks to be an analyst. And they write a book. And they got all their friends and all the leftists buying it for them. Or in some cases, if they got the authority, they'll get it into colleges and schools, and they have to buy thousands upon thousands of copies to have their book read in part of a study curriculum. No, she's exactly right, and I'm sure it caught your ear when she talked about, remember the Tea Party, Lois Lerner, the IRS, how the Tea Party was trying to get tax-exempt status, and all of these groups that had Tea Party or conservative or anything like that in their name, they were shuttled aside in favor of those who were Democrat-flavored and labeled. They got their tax-exempt status rapidly. The others, yeah, well, we'll get around to it. Maybe you can claim you're tax-exempt, maybe not. And, of course, doing various IRS illegal activities under Lois Lerner. And did she end up going to jail? No. Did Christopher Wray, when he's standing in front of Congress and testifying recently, talking about some of these things that have been done by some of these agents, and he's asked directly, was anyone punished? What happened to them? Well, I know the action was taken, but it's personnel matters. We can't really get into that. Hell, you can't. You can, and you should, but you didn't. That's what you're telling us. Joe Biden is facing several battles. We all know that with himself, first of all, his health. And I don't wish him ill, but he's not competent to continue serving. And a recent survey pointed that out. We discussed that also in the previous hour, how they're not even just talking about 77%, a mix of Democrats and Republicans say he's not qualified to serve another 4 years. And 68% of Democrats agree with that same statement, and others classify him as bumbling, stumbling, and incapable on so many levels. But he's got those battles. He's got the battles from Donald Trump, of course. This is not easing up. Trump is not easing up despite everything they're throwing at him. And he's also got to deal with the Green Party and Cornel West.
The Democratic Party has no fundamental intention of speaking to the needs of poor people and working people. They are dominated by the corporate wing. They're dominated by the militarists when it comes to foreign policy, and that he and AOC and the others are going to be, in a certain sense, window dressing at worst and at best, people to appeal to every 4 years. But the Democratic Party is beyond redemption at this point.
Cornel West, philosopher, Harvard-educated, admitted Marxist. He considers, again, that Bernie Sanders and AOC are just window-dressing, that they're not far left enough. Biden has been doing his best to appease the far left. Now he's going to have to go farther left. He can't even get off the stage without help, but they're going to pull and push him the direction they want. And that's going to alienate even more Democrats that are either going to stay home or walk away from the Democrat Party. And how's Trump doing? The mugshot, when they took that mugshot last week, in 1 week's time, based off of primarily that mugshot, the Trump campaign raised $9.4 million. People saying, that's not right, and by God, I'll give you money to fight back. And over the month of August, that coupled with everything else, they raked in $20 million. Fannie down in Georgia thought she was going to nail Trump good by getting that mugshot. It blew up in her face. And speaking of Georgia, now we're seeing Donald Trump, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution poll, that he is closing in on 60% of support among likely Republican primary voters in Georgia. That's just in the state of Georgia. And towering over the rest of the field. All of it's taken, the poll taken, after that indictment and the mugshot taken in Fulton County. In fact, since that mugshot, he's also gained 6 points of support because he had been around 51% and now he's up to 60 and growing. Actually, one poll shows he's up 7 points. DeSantis, let me give you these numbers. Trump at 57%, up 7. DeSantis at 15%, down 15% from what he had. Pence 4%, up 2. Ramaswamy 3%. Scott Haley at 3%. Christie 2%. Suarez, the mayor of Miami, has already dropped out. And all again, this was taken between August 16 and 23rd. Add to the Fulton County District Attorney, Fannie Willis, got that indictment and, of course, got the mugshot, which I know she was so proud of. She just made Trump stronger. I want to read a quote to you. The statement is basically, this is now a war against all of us. The Biden administration is a corrupt mob. The Obama administration fuels the cycle. My fellow Americans, if you don't see this, your children, grandchildren, sisters, brothers will all pay the price. Let us not beg, let us not steal, but allow God's truths to be yours and mine. Let us not hide our pride, but allow God's greatest truths to show us the way. You know who that was said by? A Hollywood actor. An Academy Award-winning actor. Not going to get a lot of jobs maybe going forward, but he doesn't really give a damn. John Voight. Coming up, the Heritage Oversight Chair that uncovered all these emails. We got a lot to cover. You don't want to miss any of it. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I'm gonna run away to duck on carry. Make camp where the land is bare. I'm gonna run away to Tuckumkeri. Ain't no one gonna find me there. Ain't no one gonna find me there. Found trouble in the town I come from. Left 6 months ago or so. I had to run from the man I wronged there.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Just recently, a court ruled that numerous never-before-seen emails be turned over to the Heritage Foundation Oversight Committee. And among the emails, there was proof that A.G. Merrick Garland was running communications from his counsel he appointed to investigate Hunter Biden, Weiss, to Senator Grassley through the political controls of Maine Justice, the Department of Justice, and the author of the Heritage Foundation Oversight Project, who got these emails, said that is a slap in the face. And that same guy is with us, Mike Howe, director of the Heritage Foundation Oversight. Mike, welcome aboard.
Hey, good to be with you.
This is amazing stuff that you got hold of. And give us a background as to why you first initiated it and what you expected to find, and we'll go from there.
Absolutely. So I'm a former Hill investigative guy, and then I worked in the Trump administration defending against us. And what we realized is that Capitol Hill, when they request documents, they usually do not get them at all. Now, the way the left did this to Donald Trump was they sued in federal court. And so that's what we set up. The Oversight Project, you actually go to court and fight for the documents. So taking us back to around, I think, March or so, Jim Jordan's committee, Judiciary Committee, asked for a set of documents that pertain to what authority Weiss actually had, this so-called independent guy in Delaware. We asked for the same thing. DOJ refused to give to us. They haven't given anything to them. So we sued DOJ. DOJ admitted that they owe us at the very least 2,500 documents that are, you know, communications between DOJ and then this Weiss guy. We got the first tranche finally after several rounds of litigation. Meanwhile, the Hill still got nothing. And the first, you know, set, there's 27 documents that they released. So think about that level of obstruction for a moment. We're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars in legal fees the government took on just to hide this info.
To hide it.
You're paying for it. I'm paying for it for them to cover up information that's entitled, you know, to us. It belongs to us. So these documents show that basically, as Merrick Garland, the attorney general, is telling Senator Grassley, hey, this guy in Delaware Weiss has complete independence. He can do whatever he wants. I got nothing to do with it. Well, in reality, when Congress was asking questions of this Weiss guy, the responses were being routed through the in-house political lobbyists at Maine Justice, the people who work for Garland, the hardest core of the lefties. And so Congress isn't even communicating with a guy that supposedly is independent. Garland's just talking through him as his own little puppet master. And so, look, the book's been out on this administration being, you know, deeply corrupt, but the lies keep adding up in tremendous fashion. And this one's a huge whopper.
Well, now, here you're talking about collusion, and you're also talking about Garland's remarks to Grassley amount to perjury, because I remember him doing that in congressional hearings.
That's absolutely true. U.S. Code 1001 makes it a federal crime to lie to Congress. I think there is a case to be made there. I mean, there's cases to be made across the board. Let's be clear. We've known Biden, you know, family ran a pay-to-play scheme ranging to tens of billions of dollars. That's been proven over and over again. Sworn affidavits, whistleblower testimony, bank records. It's provable beyond a reasonable doubt at this moment. There are 20-plus shell companies. The president is corrupt. The American people have firmly settled on that. And so it's up to Congress when they want to catch up with the American people. Because we're sick and tired of having this national embarrassment, like this third-world country-level corruption in our own country. And so whether they pick to do a perjury of Garland, this impeachment inquiry, whatever, we're just sitting back. It's time to act. Congress should catch up with the American people.
I'm referring to them now as the Department of Injustice. Am I too crass and too crude to say that?
No, that's PG. That's G-rated. I would, you know, I don't want to be inappropriate on your kind show to your listeners, but I'm in the rated R, in the rated R stages. This is tin pot stuff. At least with the Clintons, when they were running their international, you know, schemes. There was some bit of sophistication to it. You know, this is a literal crackhead scheme with like, the corruptest corners of the world. They can't even keep their own stuff straight. You got pseudonyms that Biden's using on these, you know, private email accounts. It's just the laziest thing. Our country's decayed and declined so much that even our corrupt leaders aren't even good at being corrupt. They wouldn't get hired to join your lowest level street gang with their street smarts. It's just so bad.
You just need to see what their colors are, red, blue, or what. They're not red, blue, and white. I do know that. They're probably transgender colors. I could care less. But when introducing you, I read one of your quotes that you gave Margot Cleveland of the Federalist, their legal analyst expert. And this collection of words to me just said everything. Based on what you've now got, what you've seen, what you can see with these emails, it is a slap in the face.
It is. And I think slap in the face fits it better. You know, a punch in the gut or a punch in the face is a manlier thing. This is more humiliating. Like, they humiliated the Senate by lying to them. That is a take off the white glove and just slap somebody in the face. And they're just basically, you know, begging, will the Congress stand up for its institutional authority? Because they've been humiliated by this. They've been lied to. And so it's time for them to recapture the high ground. It's unacceptable that somebody who needs to get money from Congress to do all these weaponized things is treating Congress in such a manner. So it is a slap in the face.
But you know, they've already come up with a storyline. Well, yeah, we had one of our guys go over and talk to the DOJ and meet with them. It was all about a job deal. Same thing with Jack Smith, that going to the White House on the visitor logs and so forth. They were just talking about some future job or maybe how best do you like your ribs done? I don't know.
Yeah, the problem with that is the American people aren't as stupid as they think they are. I mean, they're seeing what's happening in real time. Anyone who thinks that the efforts by Fannie Willis down in Georgia, by Jack Smith or Ben Hur here in D.C., or, you know, by Alvin Bragg up in New York, or any of these other even indictments yet to come, if they think they're not organized and working together, they're crazy. I got a bridge to sell them. You know, like, these things are timed, they're collaborative, and you know what the saddest part, again, to the point of decline, they're not even well-written or well-thought-out. I mean, here you have the left, which has, like, conquered all of higher education, has the law schools, law firms, and I read these complaints, and I don't pretend to be a modern-day Atticus Finch, but I could do better than this, you know, in my basement. These just, you know, are shoddy attempts by people who just want to get famous real quick, and hopefully they get, you know, thrown out, and they're humiliated for the rest of their lives for this attack on our country.
But it doesn't. And, in fact, I ran a clip before you joined us from Tammy Bruce, Fox News contributor, now also at one time the L.A. president of the National Organization for Women. I don't even know if that group, even women, even exists anymore, period. But she was pointing out this is not new. It's over and over. And they do it, they do it, they get away with it, and they get rewarded. They get a high, cushy job with a network or books, something like that. They don't get punished.
Yep, you're absolutely right. I mean, look at Jack Smith. His wife's out there making documentaries of Michelle Obama. These people fly in these circles. They know what they're doing. If you do something that's against, you know, President Trump or, you know, everyday Americans, you get rewarded. The left rewards their people who are willing to, you know, shame themselves in this fight. And so these people will all be taken care of. They'll probably be teaching at the Harvard, you know, School of Government or some of the World Economic Forum or something like that. They take care of their own.
The interesting thing is, in many ways, is that these are in emails. And one of the first things that the criminals who really know how to do it, you don't do anything in writing. And they did it because who the hell's going to ask? Who's going to question us? We have control and authority. So be it.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And keep in mind, the records retention laws apply to text messages. Any discussion of government business that is anywhere, regardless of the format, is what they owe us. They're telling us they only owe us, you know, emails. That's all they found. So we got suits out in 30 different areas right now. We're going to have 50 by the end of the year. And I'm gearing up. I'm looking elsewhere. I'm not just trusting what they say. It's like, oh, this is all we found. I searched my own email. Here's evidence of my own corruption. Whistleblowers, you know, we invite you to reach out. If you got information, we're at OversightPR on Twitter. Our tip line is there. If you have evidence of any of this stuff, send it our way, because they very likely could be in contempt of court if they're only producing things via email when meanwhile they're doing their whole business on Signal. And it's not as secure as they think it is, I'll put it that way.
I know the defense is already, they know how to handle that. I've seen that in other cases I've covered. Their defense against these whistleblowers is that, well, they're disgruntled employees. They didn't get a pay raise. They'll put anything on them. But often, as we well know from mobster cases, and this is a mobster case when you get down to it, some of the best information comes from those inside who got cut out a part of the deal.
You're 100% right. Or just people who aren't in on the sham. You know,
right.
You look at what happened with Hunter Biden's plea deal. I was in federal court. We blew it up with the 800-page brief we submitted to the judge. We're the first ones to do so. And my reaction was, this judge was presented with this corrupt deal. And this is a Democrat, you know, appointed judge, keep in mind. And she looked at this thing and said, I cannot stoop to this low of a standard that y'all are putting out there. This is absolutely outrageous. I've never seen anything like this before. There's no precedent for this. And so there's this, like, thought amongst, like, those at the top of the corruption scheme here that others will just go along. And they're finding out that even those they think are on their team aren't willing to stoop to that level. And I think that gives us real hope, you know, as a country.
I do. I do, and I in the last 30 seconds, I had pointed out that often the, as I call them, the state-controlled media made a big deal. This is a Trump-appointed judge, because they were expecting to just sail through and say, see, even a Trump-appointed judge admits this is all good and clean.
Yep, that's exactly right. I mean, that was the most corrupt plea deal in the world that I could ever even imagine. It had a global get-out-of-jail-free card. You never see anything like that. The best thing, Hunter, you admit to a gun charge, you're off the hook for an international pay-to-play business scheme. You know, it's just insanity.
Real quickly, in the last 15 seconds or so, what is going to happen to that gun charge? That itself, there are people serving time behind bars for lying on gun applications.
Right. If Hunter Biden was a black man here in D.C., he's been locked up long ago. I'll put it to you that way.
Oh, not in D.C. Surely not. Mike Howell, I thank you very much. We'll be interested in more of the work from the House Oversight Committee. Coming up, the hurricane and environment. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com, AllenOutdoorSTL.com, or call 314-647-4800, AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Alex, when you hear this talk about a climate emergency, what do you think?
It really scares me because they're referring to something that isn't real. but then they're going to do enormous damage on the basis of it. So when you hear these questions about, okay, is this a new normal? You have to actually be clinical and objective and look at the trend. And what Biden wants to do is rapidly eliminate fossil fuels, which means we're not going to have the energy to keep ourselves safe from climate or to live good lives in any other respect. So he's already taken totally illegitimate executive power without declaring an emergency. Imagine what this guy with explicit emergency powers, given what we saw with COVID, it just makes him an indefinite dictator.
An indefinite dictator. Biden and anyone who follows in his tracks. You're listening then to Alex Epstein. He's the author of Fossil Future. He is a founder and president of the Center for Industrial Progress. Obviously, he's in favor of fossil fuels and pointing out that right now we are better equipped to deal with the climate than we've ever been. One, of course, our advanced knowledge of storms coming, advanced preparation, things of that nature. And, of course, pointing out again that Maui was not related to climate. Yes, there was a hurricane. Yes, there were high winds. But, yes, there were also non-indigenous grasses that they were allowing to grow that were more flammable. Sirens were not sounded. Water was not being released in time. Folks were being blocked from getting to safety, on and on and on. But for the left, look at this. It was another climate disaster. And he points out later, he said, your real indicator of how bad climate, quote, change is right now is look at the rate of incidence of deaths, how many deaths are related to so-called climate change. I want to share with you a piece that comes from Just the News. That's the way it's titled, Just the News. It's a conservative website. Washington, D.C. based. Now, again, I give you the sources and I tell you where they're leaning. I don't want to hide that from you. This is a conservative based website. And they're referring to reports from a group called Clientele. Clientele is an independent foundation that operates in the fields of climate change and climate policy. Founded in 2019 by an emeritus professor of geophysics and a science journalist. Their main objective is to generate knowledge and understanding of the causes and effects of climate change as well as the effects of climate policy. We have gone from the earth is cooling so fast that we're all going to be frozen over another ice age to global warming and now to climate change because that will catch everything. We have seasonal change, now we have climate change, and it's all part of the changing of Earth and things that we really don't have an understanding of. Has man done some damage to the planet and continues in some ways? Yes, no doubt about it. You start cutting down trees in the Amazon, you're affecting the Earth and the creatures that live in the Amazon and other places in South America. But on this conservative website, they point out that the Clientele Global Climate Intelligence Group made this declaration this month, stating climate science should be less political while climate policy should be more scientific. Very much what you were hearing then from Alex Epstein, author of Fossil Future. This includes a group of this coalition of 1,600 scientists from around the world. They all signed a declaration stating there is no climate emergency, and they strongly oppose the harmful and unrealistic net zero CO2 policy that's being pushed by John Kerry and Al Gore and all the other green pie in the sky. And they point out some things that have gone upside down for their predictions already. I'll get to that in a moment. They continue with their declaration saying it does not deny, they're not denying the harmful effect of greenhouse gases, but instead are challenging the hysteria brought about by the narrative of an imminent doom. In fact, looking at some of this, they point out how the New York Times recently stated, and it's been echoed by, as they say, the mainstream media, and I would say the state-controlled media, this statement. Earth is likely to cross a critical threshold for global warming within the next decade. And it's just put out there by the New York Times and echoed and echoed and echoed, and pretty soon it's considered fact. They say you're looking at a pseudoscience that's become a scapegoat for a wide variety of unrelated ills promoted, extended by similarly misguided business marketing agents, politicians, journalists, I hate to even use that word, but that's the word they use, government agencies, and environmentalists. And then to point out, as I mentioned with Al Gore and John Kerry and some of the things they've been doing lately, they point out in 2009, former Vice President Al Gore predicted in 2009 the Arctic would be ice-free by 2013. No ice in the Arctic. Well, he later backtracked. According to Reuters, they said Gore was merely quoting other scientific reports. And, of course, 3 years earlier, he published The Inconvenient Truth. The subtitle, The Planetary Emergency of Global Warming and What We Can Do About It. They did a documentary film on that book, which earned $24 million in gross receipts that year. That film was shown in a lot of junior high school and college science classes, and sometimes maybe even not a science class. And then you had this new activist appear on the scene in 2018 with a tweet, 5 years after Gore's doomsday prediction, stating, climate change will wipe out all of humanity unless we stop using fossil fuels over the next 5 years. Greta Thunberg, the teenager, tweeted that in 2018, and it was immediately taken as fact. She had no scientific backing. She was just a young girl that decided that's what she wanted to say. So she put it out in a tweet. We will wipe out humanity unless we stop using fossil fuels over the next 5 years. That was 2018. What year are we in now? You still here? Oh, good. And then, of course, last week, as we pointed out the other day, Biden's special presidential envoy for climate, speaking at a conference in Edinburgh, Scotland, stating, and I'm quoting, scientists who've spent a lifetime tracking this human-made crisis describe themselves as alarmed and terrified. We are now in uncharted territory. Well, those who signed the Clientel Declaration, these 1,600 scientists from around the world, say global warming, quote, is far slower than predicted, and that inadequate models often guide climate policy. And, of course, you still have Biden and other world leaders pushing heavily for net zero carbon emissions. These scientists say that's unrealistic and at the same time harmful to those world economies. And they repeat again, there is no climate emergency, therefore there is no cause for panic and alarm. Oh, but you get storms, you get things changing like this hurricane that formed in the Gulf and then ran right into Florida. Yep, Hurricane Idalia made landfall in Florida's Big Bend region earlier this morning. Came ashore as a Cat 3 storm. Obviously downgraded by now as it went in, it was Cat 3. Maximum sustained winds, 125 miles an hour. And as it hit the coast of Florida, the hurricane force winds extended 25 miles out from the center of the storm. And, of course, it's since diminishing once it got over land. They are having water levels rise rapidly, and there may be a reason behind that I'll get to in a moment. They won't really know the damage in Florida and the track of what was Hurricane Idalia as it moves across headed up to the northeastern edge of Florida. Until tomorrow, they'll get some better idea with daylight. I've covered a lot of these, and you can only imagine when you see it at night, but it takes dayfall and daybreak to really see just how much damage there is. And the tides and flooding are going to be, as usual with hurricanes, one of the bigger issues. And in reference to that, one meteorologist at the National Weather Service says, we're going to have a rare blue supermoon. And it could cause tides to go above normal. Anyway, the moon is closest to the Earth as of today, the same day Idalia made landfall as a Cat 3 hurricane near Keaton Beach, where it went ashore is pretty sparsely populated. But he adds, a supermoon can be a beautiful backdrop in photos of landmarks around the world. The intensified gravitational pull also makes tides higher, even without a hurricane or tropical storm. Now, the climate alarmists will be shouting, see, this hurricane wouldn't have existed. It wouldn't come on this day except for climate change. I'll go back to these scientists again. And again, we're talking about 1,600 of them signing a declaration. There is no climate emergency. They say, yes, there are harmful effects of greenhouse gases, but we got to stop the hysteria brought on by the narrative of imminent doom. That's what you're getting force-fed daily from this administration. Remember the interview Biden gave not too long ago with the Weather Channel, and he mentioned, well, I've declared a weather climate, he said, I declared a climate emergency. He had not declared a climate emergency, and the reporter was sharp enough to say, you have done that? He said, well, I'm on the verge of doing it. He may still be on the verge of doing it, but I'm just telling you, these scientists say, this is more hysteria. Those who read in the New York Times, and I'm sure a lot of them up in the blue city of New York City and blue state, when they read the New York Times state, let me get the exact statement again, state without any supporting evidence, quote, Earth is likely to cross a critical threshold for global warming within the next decade. How's that compared to 2009 when Gore said the Arctic would be ice-free by this year, 2013? How's that statement from the Times compared to Greta Thunberg predicting climate change will wipe out all of humanity if we don't stop using fossil fuels, and that will happen within 5 years? And she said that in 2018. And then John Kerry saying, we're in uncharted territory. Hope my jet's ready to go when I'm ready to get out of here. You know someone who, if they really believed all of this stuff, riddle me this. Why would Barack Obama buy a multi-million dollar home on the coast at Martha's Vineyard when right now that area is at the most, and I should have checked it, I failed to do so, 40 feet above sea level. You know what? Shame on me for doing this because I should have looked at it earlier because I just thought of it. The elevation above sea level at Martha's Vineyard, and he's got this massive home he's just built. The island itself is 20 miles long, about 2 to 10 miles wide. It is 300 feet above sea level at its highest point. That's at the highest point. But if you're right on the coast, you're a lot lower. Now, for those who are going to be dealing in Florida and then Georgia and South Carolina with this, what's going to be left of Hurricane Idalia and the blue moon, increasing tides, the flooding, they're already pointing out in Charleston it could be underwater by later tonight or early tomorrow morning. Storm surge is going to continue. Florida, where it went in originally, they're looking at it there. And because that bend, that Fort Bend area in Florida curves inward, that's going to make the storm surge even worse. 8-foot tide in Charleston, minimum. Tomorrow we'll have a better idea. In the meantime, please keep all those of the path of this storm in your prayers. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.